Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the conference call regarding the a small world 2022 full year results. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to Jan Lüscher.
Thank you very much for the introduction. I would also like to welcome everyone to this earnings call for a small world 2022 full year results. My name is Jan Lüscher. I'm the Chief Executive Officer, and I will lead you through today's call. As always in these calls, I will touch on the operational and financial highlights for the year, and I will also try to provide additional information for to put those results into the broader context so you can better understand the headline numbers. And in the end, as mentioned, we will do a quick Q&A session for any outstanding questions. The presentation that I'm using to illustrate our performance is available for download on our corporate website. If you have not downloaded it yet, you should do so now. It's probably easier to follow my explanations with the presentation in front of you. So navigate to smallworldag.com and there to the investor section. And under investor documents, you will find the presentation called 2022 Full Year Results Presentation, which is the document I will use for this call. Great. So let's start. As always, on page number two, a quick recap of who we are and what our mission is as a small world. We are the world's leading travel and lifestyle community, and we inspire our members to travel better, experience more, and make new connections. We have a group of businesses, mainly seven businesses that make up the Small World Travel and Lifestyle ecosystem. At the center of a small world is our social network, which has the goal to attract an affluent consumer segment with a high willingness to spend on travel and experiences. And this audience then creates demand for our other businesses, ranging from small world events to,
Just one moment, please. We will continue in a moment. Just one moment, please. And back to Mr. Lüscher.
My apologies. Somebody called and created some confusion on my cell phone. My bad. Apologies. So yes, the Small World Social Network is creating demand for our other businesses, whether that's Small World Events, the World's Finest Clubs, or also the Small World Collection, our hotel booking engine. And so that's really the way the social network works together with our other businesses. Now, let's actually get into the headline numbers, the financials on page number five. In short, it was another record year for Small World. We grew our sales by 18%, and they stood at 18.5 million Swiss francs for the year. And we've also increased our EBITDA to a new record of 2.5 million, which is an increase by 3%. Net income was slightly down by 8%, and earnings per share came in at 0.13 Swiss francs per share. The cash position at the end of the year was 4 million. And there's a few additional things I want to mention here to put the number in context. The lower EBITDA growth compared to the revenue growth was due to a mix of factors, most importantly, that we didn't receive any government support anymore, which helped us with salary costs in 2021 as part of the health package that the Swiss government has put out, where we benefited and basically that reduced our costs and with that increased our profitability. So that has gone away. Also, we have expanded our team again this year. So there's a few more team members. We had to do a few salary increases here and there that we were holding back. And we also had a write-off of 250,000 Swiss francs for a deal that we still had in our books with a company called PMG. It was an IP rights deal where they were allowed to use the Small World name for a magazine. This was done before Corona. And then with Corona, the magazine was put on hold. And during the last year, it became clear that this deal will not happen and the magazine will not happen. And we actually had to write off that asset, which impacted our result negatively for this 250,000. So that's also something that impacted the bottom line. And for that net result, why the net result is lower, there were two factors here that contributed. One, we had higher interest cost due to a larger amount of loans that we currently have on our books, mainly for the financing of the GHA transaction. And secondly, in the previous year, we had positive currency effects on our liabilities, which were in euros, which sort of became less and less. And so that was, that's the Swiss franc appreciated, and that sort of impacted the net result positively in 2021, and this effect was no longer present in 2022. So this just to explain why EBITDA and the net result didn't grow exactly the same amount as the top line. But to summarize, I believe we can still be very proud of these results. We are consistently growing the business in a profitable fashion, while we are also expanding the long-term revenue capacity of the business by expanding into new products and services, which will keep the business growing in the coming years. Moving on to page number 6, where you can see our headline KPIs compared to the previous years. On the previous slide, I've already mentioned the sales growth of 18% to 18.5 million. You see that in context, we had that dip in 2020 for the corona year and caught up in 2021 and then continued that growth. Member base grew by 4% to 66,000 members across all our businesses. And the EBITDA, as mentioned, grew by 3% from 2.4 to 2.5. sort of basically keeping that jump that we had from 2020 to 2021, even without sort of the government subsidies and so on, it was holding up quite well there. Then on page number 5, a few words about the operational highlights for the year. I believe what's important to mention here is that, which is not directly in the numbers, you can't directly read it from the financial statements, is that with the last earnout payment for the First Class and More acquisition that we have made this year, we have actually now become fully self-funding as a business. So these were 3.5 million Swiss francs that we had to pay for the last earnout payment. And now we actually have enough money to meet our obligations and fund our growth. I think that's a very important milestone for the management and for the company, as it just gives us a bit more wiggle room to fund strategic projects and kind of, I always would compare it to moving from a defense game where it was the ultimate goal was to preserve cash that we can basically keep the business going, to a situation where we have a bit of money to spend on initiatives if they offer the right return. Related to that, we also have a strong cash position with 4 million Swiss francs in the bank. It was per end of last year, and an operating cash flow of 2.4 million for the year, which means that we keep everything else steady, we could pay back all our debts that we currently have within the next 3 years out of our cash and out of our cash flow. So it's also important to put that in context. And what is also very important is that we continue to build our long-term revenue potential by expanding our product and services. We have three important initiatives here: the collection, the partnership with Emirates, and the acquisition of a 10% stake in Global Hotel Alliance. And I will actually go into more detail on these points in the previous slide. On the next slide. So page number 8 gives you an overview of exactly those three topics, which are key initiatives to expand our revenue potential. With the smaller collection, this business that we started in 2020, the goal is to monetize our travel-savvy members through hotel bookings. Emirates, we actually added as a partnership with Emirates Skywards Miles for our premium memberships, which is the Prestige and the Signature membership, making these memberships more attractive and bringing it to another audience. and the acquisition of the 10% stake in Global Hotel Alliance, which will result in growth for the community, but it also opens up new revenue streams for us. And so these are the three big topics that we're working on right now. And I'm just going to expand on those topics a little bit to give you a bit more of an overview of what we're doing there. So starting with the collection and page number 9, the collection is a hotel booking platform focused exclusively on luxury hotels. If you've been in these calls before, you heard me talk about it. It's a very streamlined booking experience, and we only focus on luxury hotels. On page number 10, you can also see what we mean with streamlined user experience in terms of the user rate. We have the Small World VIP rate and the lowest rate as the two rates that we offer, and we only offer two, so we don't offer up to like 10 rates that some of the competitors do. We kind of keep it simple. And the lowest rate is just the lowest price that is available to us. And the Small World VIP rate is the rate that comes with a lot of VIP benefits and really sort of a value for money rate that comes with free room upgrades, hotel credit of $100, complimentary breakfast for two, early check-in, late check-out, complimentary Wi-Fi. And so these things come free on top of what the user will pay on other sites. There's also why 99% of our bookings are actually with the Small World VIP rate. This is really our selling point. And the collection has very strong partners. So page number 11, we are Virtuosa Travel Agency. We're part of multiple preferred travel agency programs. We've just recently announced the partnership with IHG. And when I say partnership, meaning we get access to their hotel portfolio because we are a preferred travel agency for them. So meaning we can increase the inventory. And Jumeirah is actually currently being implemented, which is the latest one. And then obviously we have Marriott, Hyatt, Hilton, Bursaria, Shangri-La as the existing partners. And that actually leads to what you can see on page number 12, a significant increase in our hotel inventory. So we started in 2020 with 583 hotels at launch. And today we actually have 1,504 hotels. Actually, by now, probably after a few days after we put these slides together, the number is already bigger again or has increased again. So the inventory went up by 158% since we launched the collection. This means we added more than 921 hotels, and we're covering today 466 destinations, so almost three times what we covered in the beginning, meaning we have actually more inventory to sell and but of high-class hotels relevant to our customer group. And this is also what leads to more sales for the collections, which you can actually see on page 13. So with the booking volume actually went up quite significantly from 2021 to 2022. Of course, in general, bookings went up, as travel resumed and customers started to travel again. But I guess we're coming from zero. So every booking for us is a new booking, is an incremental booking. And where we got to in the comparison to 2021 was that we actually had 2.5 times the booking value in terms of stays, meaning money spent at the hotel. So it's quite a strong growth, so of 150%. And what is also encouraging is the stickiness of customers, very good, because 41% of our customers have at least booked a second time with us already, if not a third or a fourth time. Meaning they like booking with us and they come back for more. So we hope we can actually continue to grow the contribution from the collection. It's still small compared to some of our other products, but with this growth rate and sort of like nurturing this, we believe that this can become an important contributor to our bottom line. The second initiative, starting page 14, is the partnership with Emirates. Emirates, of course, one of the most recognizable international carriers based in Dubai. So we signed a partnership with them in July last year. And with that, they've become the third option or third miles package option for our prestige and signature memberships. that come with 250,000 or 500,000 air miles. So this means as a user, you can now choose, do I want the prestige membership with miles and more miles, which is the Lufthansa group, like which also includes Swiss and Austrian and so on. Do I want it with Emirates or do I want it with Etihad? And obviously you choose based on the program that you're flying with and the miles that you need. But this acts, this opens up a new market for us, like users that, or customers that have previously have not been interested in other products like the miles and more, because then maybe they're based in Dubai or in other places. Now we can access the Middle Eastern market or like other global travelers and sell them the membership with the Emirates miles. Sales have started in September, so we had 3 months last year that that Emirates contributed, and we could see the impact right away. So it started really well, and we will see how it contributes in 2023. So page 15, I guess I spoke about that already. So you can see the 3 miles options for the prestige and signature membership. You can choose which one, and the rest of the benefits actually stays the same for the memberships. Pricing about 5,500 euros or 10,000 euros for those memberships. And as I said, we expect this to contribute more in 2023, although also have to mention that the program got a lot less attractive since we've actually signed. Emirates has made redemptions harder. You need more miles. You need to, the availability has gone down. So it's unfortunately not as attractive as when we started the discussion with them. But for the right customers, it's still attractive enough. So we hope it will continue to contribute to our results. Page 16 is the third initiative that I want to highlight. So this is the partnership with GHA. So to recap, we announced in December 21 that we would buy a 10% stake in the company, and that payment was completed in May last year with a 3.5 million cash payment and a 3% stake in a small world. So we became a shareholder in them and they became a shareholder in us, highlighting this strategic collaboration thought that is behind it. Yes, so basically it's up and running how we work together. But maybe on page 17, quickly, who is GHA for those not 100% familiar with the company? GHA is the world's largest alliance of independent hotel brands. It operates the world's largest loyalty platform of independent hotel brands called GHA Discovery, the logo on the bottom right of the page. And other owners next to us include Kempinski, Minor Hotels, Corinthia Hotels, the Pan Pacific Group, and Oracle as a tech company. And they have 40 hotel brands that are part of it, over 800 hotels in over 100 countries, and 23 million customers, sort of the latest number. So quite a big program. It's among the biggest loyalty programs in the world, and it competes with bigger programs like a Marriott Bonvoy and the World of Hyatt and so on. And the partnership for us, or the reason, the rationale why we basically invested into this company is on page 18. It comes from four areas. First of all, we actually make the small world membership available to GHA customers. So basically, GHA customers will receive a complimentary membership for small world, but only the elite members, so the higher status levels. It's a benefit, member a status benefit perk, sorry, that's what I wanted to say. And that generates an influx of members into a small world with very travel savvy and interesting customers. Also, we can use the GHA mailing lists and distribution platform to market a small world product. They have more than 23 million customers, so we can periodically access or find a spot in the marketing efforts that they have. Third is the acquisition of independent hotels. So this is what we're currently working on as the probably the biggest project coming out of this partnership. So in short, a small world is becoming a brand in the GHA brand portfolio of those 40 brands that I mentioned before. And it will be a soft brand that allows independent hotels to join the GHA Discovery loyalty platform under the Small World umbrella and participate in the loyalty program with all the benefits it has. It's something that currently is only available, or previously has only been available to smaller groups or larger groups, but not to independent hotels. And we, as a Small World, are now the vehicle or the service partner for independent hotels to join the portfolio. I mean, it's a bit similar to what Marriott does with the Autograph Collection or, well, I mean, it's pretty much the Autograph Collection, which is sort of an umbrella name for hotels that want to stay, remain independent and operate under the independent name. So we will not have a Small World written on a hotel. They will stay with the hotel, be just a service partner for the service. And the last one is actually a purely financial investment into Global Hotel Alliance. Obviously, we bought that stake for $4.5 million, and expect a certain return purely by owning the business in the form of dividends, or potentially then reselling that stake at a future point in time at a higher price. The good thing is, what we can actually say is the company has been doing a lot better than what we anticipated when we bought the stake during the pandemic. They will pay dividends quicker and more. So purely from a financial investment point of view, they've actually we've been doing well so far. We believe it's been a good purchase of the stake in GHA. Page 19. Is what I mentioned earlier. This is the brand portfolio that GHA Discovery has. You see top left, like Anantara, which is very well known. You see the Kempinski logo. NH is on here. Viceroy, Pan Pacific, Nikki Beach, all the hotels that are part of the GHA Discovery loyalty platform. All these brands are in there with their whole hotel portfolios. So far, there wasn't a way for independent hotels to join, but now you can see there highlighted with the highlighting tool, the top left, the Small World logo. We are now in that brand portfolio, and we will have more and more independent hotels that will join GHA Discovery with the Small World as their service partner. And we have announced one hotel already, and that's on page number 20. That is the Chedi Andermatt that has signed with us and will be the first one to go live under the Small World name. It was supposed to happen this week. It will probably be slightly delayed to the end of March due to a couple of extra loops that we had to do. But so the first hotel will go live then probably still this month. With that, we will also put live the Small World Discovery website, which is the name for that part of our product offering, obviously highlighting a Small World as our company and Discovery as the program, and we're also in conversations with many other hotels. We have two more that we will talk about very soon or close to signing, or like have almost signed, and then a couple of others that we're hopeful that we will have them signed very soon. The target is that we have about 10 hotels signed by the end of June, and then keep on building on that. And from a financial point of view, it is a commission sort of revenue model where the hotels pay a part of the stay to us and GHA when members book through the GHA loyalty platform. So the more hotels we have and the more bookings we generate through the GHA system, the more interesting it will be for us. Good. Well, that concludes the overview of the main initiatives that we're working on right now. So the smaller collection, the extension of the product offering for Prestige and Signature with Emirates, and the partnership with Global Hotel Alliance in multiple areas, but we're now in focus the Small World's Discovery setup to have independent hotels join the GHA Discovery loyalty platform. Good. Moving on then to page 22, where we have a quick look at the segment reporting, specifically on this slide, the first of our two segments, the subscriptions business. We've seen very solid growth from the subscriptions business. Actually, it's been the main contributor for the growth this year. We moved from 10.2 million to 13.0 million, so +28%, mainly driven due to strong smaller prestige membership sales, increased demand for business and first-class flights, and then also the first 3 months of Emirates contributed to that. On the EBITDA side, we grew by 3% to 1.7 million. And on the margin side, so we have a slightly lower margin and moved from 16% 16% to 13%, so 3 percentage points down, reflecting, you know, the write-off that we discussed earlier, but also higher staff costs that sort of led to a slightly lower margin for this segment. Then for the services business on slide 23, in short, it was very steady. If you look at the aggregate number, 5.4 million, so it's a very, very tiny growth number of 0.1%. EBITDA also stood at 0.8% for both years, and the margin went up by a tiny, tiny bit. But there was a lot going on under the hood because the services business has many contributors. So what we can say is the smaller collection started to contribute positively. We also seen a first contribution from GHA in the form of service fee for the members that are joining a small world. Also first class and well, that was sort of the positive part. Also, small world hospitality contributed quite strongly to the consulting project that we have in Dubai for the Ritz-Carlton residences. Unfortunately, also at the same time, we have to say that this partnership or this collaboration has ended. It was terminated by Mog of Life, the partner there or the developer there, who decided not to work with us anymore. I think it's mentioned in the annual report in the press release. We are challenging basically the end of this termination also because we were actually supposed to get a fee on sales and of the apartments, the units. And obviously, by ending this partnership early means we wouldn't get any of our fees anymore from sales. So we're challenging basically this termination, and legal proceedings are pending. But it probably means that that project will not sort of deliver any contributions in terms of commissions from sales in the future, which is very unfortunate. But happens when you work with somebody else, that you end up in a dispute. Also, a bit on the negative side, first class and more business and first class flight packages, which have seen strong demand in 2021, experienced a bit of a dip this year. So overall, some positives that contributed, some positive parts that contributed more, and some others that were a bit running behind, and which then overall led to this sort of steady outcome of 5.4 million, although the mix looks very different than it was last year. Good, which brings us to the consolidated financials for the year on page 25. We start with the income statement, where we can see at the very top again, this sales increased by 80%. As I said, primarily due to strong prestige and signature sales. Other operating income, the minus 250,000 is this impairment on the PMG deal. Direct expenses went up quite a bit, but this is in line, obviously, with the additional sales from the prestige and signature membership, so it shouldn't be anything worrying. And then R&D, staff, OPEX, and so on increased due to the end of cost-saving measures and government support and also team expansion, so that went slightly up again. And if we go further down there to the financial result, we have higher interest rates, as I mentioned earlier in the highlights. We have the 325,000 there for 2022, which is higher than the just shy of 200,000 in 2021. And also you see the 278 on the financial income part there. That was the currency or the positive development for us since our liabilities in euros went down in value. So this is what explains why from the operating result to the net result, we're actually going down, or we had a stronger net result last year compared to this year. So it's these factors that led to that. Good. Then page 26 is the balance sheet. Here we can see that the cash position has decreased by 1.2 million from 5.2 to 4 million. What has happened in the big parts was we had this big payment for First Class and More, this earnout payment of 3.5 million that we had to pay out. And at the same time, the positive operating cash flow sort of, you know, brought money back in so that we ended at 4 million. Receivables from services temporarily increased quite a bit there, but it's due to open invoices from the hospitality projects that we had, which were paid actually already. So that has already gone down since the end of last year. And then prepayments also went up quite a bit. So this is travel and events that sort of just stood there over the end of the year period that sort of are accounted for like that. So I guess nothing to worry. It's a good thing that will turn into revenue at some point. And financial assets, I think, is the other big change there. This 4.6 or 4.7 million reflects the asset that we now have with the 10% stake in GHA that sort of goes into there. So it kind of increases our balance sheet quite a bit. So overall, balance sheet going up mainly due to this addition of the GHA stake in our sheets now, in our balance sheet now, on our assets. Liabilities on page 27. Here we, if you're looking at the highlights, so those short-term financial liabilities went up a little bit. This is mainly due to interest and amortization payments for the loan that we have received for the GHA acquisition. So that is due in March. Maybe we've even paid it already, but otherwise will be happening this month. Then payables from goods and services saw a strong increase here into the balance sheet. That's because we had a big mile sale for Miles & More and Emirates at the end of last year. Some of these are open invoices that we needed to pay. Then we have short-term provisions that were reduced because we now actually paid the Miles & More, the First Class & More earnout payments. And then the accrued liabilities increased to deferred income from the Prestige sales. That means they're going over the period, which is also good stuff. And then in the liabilities, we also see the long-term financial liabilities, that this one went up to 8.6 million. This now reflects obviously the additional 4 million that we have received there from the bank to finance the GHA acquisition. So here as well on the liability side, we see that the balance sheet went up due to that acquisition of the GHA stake. And we now move to obviously as well to 12.3 million. Well, you can also see the total equity that we have is becoming less negative. Here again, we follow the accounting principle that we don't have goodwill in our books, which is write it off. That's why we have negative equity here. But that will normalize as the as we write down sort of the goodwill in the over time. Cash flow statement, page 28. Sort of the first part of that is the operating cash flow. At the very bottom, we see we got to 2.3 million, down from 4.1. Changes mainly in the working capital that sort of contributed to that, primarily receivables from services and prepayments. Then we had this loss on impairment, which is the PMG deal again that I mentioned twice already, and then a bit more share-based compensation. But I think the important thing here to note is this obvious drop in operating cash flow looks bad at first. We believe that the number in 2021 was a bit inflated due to due to the timing of the working capital changes, and that actually that the number that we have this year more accurately reflects our company's capacity to generate cash. So it was a bit inflated in 2021, and 2022 is probably a bit more normal compared to where we have our earnings are. Good. Investing activities are on page 29. Here we had this cash outflow for First Class and More, the final earnout payment that I mentioned for 3.5 million. So that's now out. And what you see in the outflow for investment in financial assets is the acquisition of the 10% stake in NGHA. That's why you see so much movement here of 7.2 million overall. And then for the last part, inflow from financing, you see the 4 million that we received there as bank loan in issuance of long-term financial liabilities. That's that. And then at the very bottom, you see the change in net cash, the minus 1.2 million that I mentioned earlier in the balance sheet. So the decrease of net cash that happened over time. So all basically looks very, very reasonable, given that we just had to make this big 3.5 million Swiss franc payment. Good, then that brings us to the outlook on page 32. Not a lot of new insights here from me for the outlook for next year. We actually, in terms of market environment, we still expect the market to gradually improve further, although I would say we're almost at fully open or no restrictions already. Which is good. We expect a bit of a boost from the partnership with Emirates Skywards for the Precision Signature membership. So that's, I think I mentioned that previously as well. And obviously, we continue to push the Smallworld collection as our go-to booking engine, driving bookings up with it. And also, no surprise, as per the previous my previous comments, we will further develop the partnership with JJ and making sure that we get more hotels signed up for a Small World Discovery and also the other aspects of the collaboration. And in terms of guidance, which is the last content slide here in this presentation on page 33, we have net sales we anticipate somewhere between 10 and 20% growth. So that would bring us to just over 20 million in sales. In terms of members, we anticipate also to hit the 70,000 members mark. So that's the goal for the end of the year. And in terms of EBITDA, I would say sort of moderate growth to 2.6, 2.8 million. It's a bit of, we need to spend a bit of money in a few areas, which make us a bit cautious on putting the EBITDA too high. So it's a bit of an investment year in a few areas. And so we're obviously trying to balance short-term profitability with long-term growth and setting the business up the right way. But if we see that sort of a few investments have been held back, or a few also tactical investments have been held back, which probably happened in 2023, that's why we sort of see a moderate or a moderate growth in EBITDA for this year, over the coming year. And that actually concludes my presentation. Now I'm very happy to go into Q&A and answer any questions that you may have.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the 9 and star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to withdraw your question, press 9 and star a second time. And the first question comes from Henry Wendisch, Nuways. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, everybody. Hello, Jan. Thank you for the presentation. Congrats for the record year for A Small World. I have three or four questions for you. You just talked about the guidance for this year, and you said it would be a rather conservative guidance given the outlook is on margin is not improving. Because if you take the numbers you guide for an EBITDA margin of 11 to 14%, what is in detail burdening the EBITDA margin for this year? which would be my first question. Second question is that you have a tax rate of 9% right now. What is your nominal tax rate in Switzerland, and do you still have any losses carried forward that would offset tax for the future? And my third question is on the Prestige and the Signature memberships. I would like to know how many or how much of that revenue is actually recurring, and do you see any churn or any trends of people like in both ways, obviously of renewing the Signature and Prestige memberships with if travel is coming back in this year. And my last question is on the Global Hotel Alliance. I would like to know that you expect a dividend in this year. Can you provide us with a rough indication of what kind of amount of dividend you expect, and where in the P&L, I think it would be other operating income, you expected? Thank you very much.
Hey, Henry. Good to have you here. Thank you for the questions. I wrote it down so I know what they were. Let me actually reorder them a little bit because one thing leads to another. Starting with the Prestige and Signature memberships, yes, obviously they are very important to us by now. So they've become probably the most important revenue driver and also impact the profitability. And you say, what's the renewal rate or the repurchase rate? It's a bit of an individual sale, so unlike sort of the social media business where we have, there's auto renewal, so you stay in for another year once it expires. We don't have that for the Prestige and the Signature. I mean, these are, with over 5,000 euros or 10,000 euros of an item, you don't just want to automatically renew that, right? I mean, it would just lead to a lot of very unhappy customers. So you almost have to, you have to sell it again and again, almost making it every sale like a first sale again. But we do have a lot of recurring business. So we even have customers that do early renewals, as we call it. So which Miles & More actually allows us to do is the primary reason is somebody wants more air miles. They can do an early renewal and we give them the miles instantly, and then the membership will basically tucked on at the end, but he or she gets the miles. So there is recurring business there, but it's not automatically recurring, but it's sort of an individual sale, and it is usually very much dependent on whether the individual needs miles or not, because that's the primary value in from the membership, which is also why we're a bit cautious on sales and EBITDA. We have the most important product that we have right now is the Prestige membership for Miles & More, which is the membership for 5,000, a bit more than 5,000 euros with 250,000 miles or more miles. And the problem now is that Miles & More has also started to offer miles purchases directly from their website, which is something that they haven't done in the past. But so, and they basically are now in direct competition with us and with our miles offering. And as you can imagine, it's when you're a customer who wants to buy miles and you can buy them directly on the website of Miles & More, or you have to go to Small World and buy them there, you probably opt for the former. So we are a bit cautious on where we're going to get to in terms of sales for the Miles & More membership in 2023. We're now running a sales period right now, and we can already see that sales are not as strong as we had in previous sales periods. So we're a bit cautious there. As I said, one reason is that Miles & More has basically started to compete with us on this product. And secondly, the other reason is also that the availability for miles flights is in the Miles & More network has been difficult, meaning you have a hard time finding the business and first class flights that you want with miles flights. And obviously, when that happens, people sit on their miles because they can spend them, which means they're also not going to come back and buy more miles, so and then reducing the demand further. So lack competitive products for Miles & More, lack of availability, it reduces demand a bit for the Miles & More product. And Emirates obviously is completely new, so they should actually be contributing very positively. However, as I think mentioned earlier in this presentation, they made the program a lot less attractive through three sort of changes where they introduced changes that you need to spend more miles, you need to spend more extra fees. So they just really want to push the cash sales right now and not the miles bookings for flights. And it's very obvious. And so, that also reduces the demand for the Emirates product a little bit. So this is the context of these sort of big products that we have. So that's why we're a little bit conservative, also because the Emirates product has a slightly lower margin there than on Miles & More. So if we lose Miles & More, it will hit our EBITDA a lot more than sort of what the Emirates product can make up with. So that's another reason there that is basically a transition to what the EBITDA margin impact will be of that change. And then on your point around dividends with GAJ, so my understanding is from an accounting point of view that it doesn't go into our operating income or anything like that. I think it's sort of financial. It's in the financial result part, which is below the EBITDA, and so that wouldn't really impact that number. And in terms of size of what it is, so I think we're not talking about massive amounts, but we're talking about something like in the region of, for next year, maybe close to 100,000 or so Swiss francs. So it's not a massive amount, but it's good because there was nothing planned. So getting something is better than not getting anything. That's the thing on GAJ. And then the tax rate question. Yes, we still have losses that we can carry forward from previous years. I think I would have to double check how much longer we and how big the amount is. Also, I'm actually not 100% sure on nominal tax rate. So I will probably have to go back and speak with Daniel, our CFO, to give you an accurate answer on that one. So I would come back to you on that one.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from Yunong Alpha Value. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Jens. Thanks for taking my question. Two, if I may. First, do you expect a significant recovery in the number of events in 2023? And is the member target of 70 to 72,000 is a prudent forecast? And secondly, are you going to further expand the hotel portfolio of a smaller selection from the current level of 1,500, or you're happy with that? Are you expecting to invest more in marketing initiatives? Thank you.
Hey, Yi, good to have you. Thank you very much for the questions. All interesting ones. So recovery of events, I was just trying to find the information because we just recently discussed this point. Give me one second. I actually have it here. So maybe in without the numbers as a qualitative statement. So what has happened, right? We had a lot of a lot of events pre-Corona. It was about 1,100 events. And then with Corona, obviously all of that came to a complete stop. So for a while there was no events. I mean, it wasn't zero for that year because the Corona impact came only later. But literally then for a moment in time there were no events, and now we're basically slowly building this back up, and it's actually proving difficult in the sense that we, because our events are organized by ambassadors and ambassadors and volunteers, and during the pandemic, many, I mean, even prior to the pandemic, like, you know, ambassadors' life situations are is changing. So they maybe don't want to do events anymore. They take a different job. They have a new relationship. They move somewhere else. So and then you constantly need to bring in new ambassadors to do this work for you. But then during 2 years, we didn't have the chance to acquire or like get new ambassadors. So which had to the effect that basically from about 130 active ambassadors prior to Corona, we went down to about 65, and so it's basically halved. And with that, obviously, do a lot less events, and so that means we really have to rebuild, and we're not close to that. Actually, I found it in the annual report. So the number of what I want to say, like we had in 2021, we did 394 in-person events compared to like 1,100. So it's like literally around what's up, about 40%, even less than 40% of what it was pre-pandemic. And last year we grew it by 26%, but we were at 500 events, so still way below 2019. For this year, we expect the number to go, I think, into the 700s again, but again lower than pre-pandemic. So we really it's a rebuild effort there, and it's important because for many people this is actually a reason to be part of the small world, and so we really need to build it back up. We also the membership team has been one of the teams that have seen hiring, so we hired two more people basically to bring in new ambassadors to help with setting up events. So we're doing stuff there, but it takes a bit of time to like bring it back to the or fill that gap that sort of the pandemic has left. Then for your second question about members, 70,000 members, yes, it's a bit of an increase compared to the growth rate that we had last year, but we will use a few marketing measures to push that up. We hope that with GHA, we have more of an influx of people coming from there. We need to grow, and we want to do it now. So I'm actually quite positive that we can hit that number somehow. And then the next question was collection expansion. Yes, the growth in the inventory. Look, we don't have a firm number in mind of what the inventory needs to be. We sort of a rough reference point is sort of like just around 2,000 hotels. I see I'm contradicting myself when I'm saying we don't have a number in mind. I say it's 2,000, but like the reason why I'm saying this is we obviously want to have a focused portfolio on luxury properties, and once you start adding more and more hotels, you dilute that focus. So we believe that it will probably sort of come to a plateau around 1,800 to 2,000 hotels. So we're close to the number actually that we want to have. It's actually right now not a question of access to the hotels. I mean, we have access to many, many hotels, but it's more selecting the right ones and adding them. It just takes time to put them into the system. And just to give you a sense of magnitude, even with the 1,500 hotels that we have, that translates into roughly 200,000 rate codes for the hotels. So it's actually a big data management exercise to get all that up and running. And what we've seen is the time that the team spends on maintaining the current portfolio becomes more and more as the hotel grows. And so, I mean, it's to be expected, right? But what I'm saying is we're not going to sort of double this and triple this in the next few years, but probably it will plateau between 1,800 to 2,000 hotels. And marketing, can you remind me? I just wrote that marketing. Like, what was the question there? The exact one.
I'm wondering if you are expecting to invest more in marketing expenses.
Yes, we are, and that's also like one of the reasons why we are a bit cautious on the EBITDA. We, I mean, we haven't spent much or virtually nothing in terms of traditional advertising spend or online, offline, whatever, like YouTube ads or like Google ads and so forth for 2022. We've been, I think, coming out of the pandemic where we've been so focused on not spending unnecessary money, we almost haven't sort of had the muscle to do that. Also, we also didn't want to spend money on advertising just without going anywhere. But we're working with a marketing agency for the collection right now to sort of test the waters a little bit, see what works. So we're building the muscle again to run advertising campaigns and do marketing. But we're doing it right now in a small scale way and testing. But that might change once we have a formula that we think works and where it like makes sense to put money behind it. Obviously, we only do that if we think it leads to the results that we want, right? Sort of, I mean, just spending money in marketing without sort of getting a return is I think it's not in anyone's interest. So we're going a bit slow, I would say there, but we're working on it.
Okay, great. Thanks for your clarification.
Of course. Thank you so much, Yi.
At the moment, there are no further questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. There are no more questions from the audience.
Good. Well, then in that case, I thank everyone who joined for your continued interest in A Small World. It's very much appreciated. Thank you, Henry and Yi, for your thoughtful questions. And please, if there are any other questions or you need to reach out to me on any other topics, I mean, just send me an email on jan@asw.com. Happy to get in touch there. So thank you very much.